Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessing on our meeting today, Lord. We ask that you pour out your Spirit, bring all things to remembrance that you would have us to say, and bless the brethren to retain these things and let them be brought forth by the Holy Spirit within them. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the New Testament survey of faith, and we're on part 7 now. Faith or belief is accepting God's word above the things that we see or experience in the world until our faith or belief changes what we see in the world. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, right? So we thank you for that, Father. We ask, Lord, that you give us an understanding of faith and the scope and the breadth of faith today. In Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to start at Romans 4 and 2. And we ended up with that, but I didn't get to talk about it much, so I'm going to go and talk about this a little bit more. Romans 4 and 2 through 8. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. You know, that's according to the law. But the law came after the Abrahamic covenant and was a meantime thing until the new covenant came. The Bible says, if he was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not towards God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto or accounted unto him for righteousness. We have to believe what God says, no matter what. We have to believe and confess what he says, so that we will be accounted righteous. Let God be true, and every man a liar, that thou mightest be justified when you come into judgment. Right? Let God be true. Say it, believe it. Now to him that worketh, in other words, to save or deliver or provide for himself, right? To him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. In other words, God would owe you, and he's not going to owe anybody anything, right? But to him that worketh not, in other words, they don't seek to save themselves, right? But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, which is all of us, right? His faith is reckoned for righteousness. It is imputed righteousness. God calls him righteous even before he manifests his righteousness, because God is justifying the ungodly. And we all need to consider ourselves unprofitable servants, so we're all considering ourselves in this area. Okay? Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works. Okay, so we know that this works does not include willful disobedience according to Hebrews 10:26, because if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So this is apart from our failures, apart from the sin that we don't like, hate, fight against, apart from these things, right? According to Romans chapter 7. And so, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that our failures every day are overlooked by you because of the blood of the Lamb, and whose sins are covered. Amen. Or else we wouldn't have any relationship with God or any right to the benefits of God, right? Amen. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Oh, glory be to God. This is awesome. Awesome covenant. It's called the good news, right? Romans 4 and 22. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And by the way, we were in Christ when he was raised from the dead, so we reckon that we are raised from the dead too by faith. As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, right? Who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification, or accounted righteous. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father, for this position that we have with you solely on the grounds of what Jesus did at the cross. And yes, we fail probably every day, Lord. But we don't walk in willful disobedience every day, thank God. And we thank you for that justification. So we're right before you. The devil condemns us, but he fails because we know this. Thank you, Father. Romans 6 and 4, I'm going to read some of this. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death. So, I mean, when you believe, you should get baptized, because it's a sign, but it's also an act of faith that you're united with him in his death and will also be in his resurrection. Okay. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Notice what he calls resurrection life. It's new life. It's so we also might walk. We believe that we died with him. We believe that we were resurrected with him. So now we can walk in this new life. And if anybody tells you you can't, they're liars. Right? Even the devil. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, glory be to God. We go through death, we manifest our death to self, and we manifest his resurrection afterwards. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. Why does he say might be done away? Because you still have to believe it and have to walk in it, right? So that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Oh, glory to God. Get a revelation here. We're not in bondage to sin because of what Jesus did. Those that are, it's because they don't believe it. Right? You're not in bondage to sin. Believe it. Accept it. Be accounted righteous too. For he that hath died is justified from sin. We're accounted righteous. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. So we go through death so that we don't have any, it has no more dominion over us, and then we come into resurrection life so that we can live the new life and also be resurrected with him, physically speaking. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Oh, good. So we died, so now we can live unto God. Amen. Even so, ye also yourselves, to be reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. In other words, consider it done, is what he says. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. See, if you do these things, you will not let sin reign in your mortal body, because your faith will bear fruit. Right? That you should obey the lust thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of righteousness. In other words, you're not offering your body up to live in sin or to walk after the flesh. Don't do this. You don't have to do this. If you really love God, you won't do this. Right? But present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead. Here I am, Lord. I'm alive from the dead. Jesus lives in me. I don't live anymore. Amen. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So therefore we offer our bodies up to be instruments of God. In other words, God living through us. Right? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, glory be to God. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Oh, don't go back under the law. Oh, God, there's no deliverance there. There's no promise there. Don't let these people do this to you. What then? Shall we sin that we're not, because we're not under the law? Well, but under grace? God forbid. We don't have to sin now. And if you don't want to sin and you have faith, you don't have to live in sin anymore. For you know, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we offer our bodies to God to serve him, and we serve him through faith. And if you serve the devil, obviously you're offering your body unto him, because he has no right to you anymore because of this act of faith of baptism and the act of faith that Jesus, that you died with Jesus and you're resurrected. You can tell the devil no now. You have authority to do that. He likes to bluff you, but you have authority to do that. But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. Right? The teaching that we're talking about now, that we've been delivered to, will deliver us from sin. If we act in faith, faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen, we accept this gift from God, and we hold fast to our faith, we're going to see it bear fruit. And being made free from sin, all right, you became servants of righteousness. We are now servants of righteousness because we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, right? Being made free from sin. He wants you to believe that. And if you believe that, the devil won't be able to tell you you have to sin. He won't be able to tell you you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. He won't be able to deceive you with these lies that men tell. And Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Amen. That's what we're talking about, right? Because we believe we've been delivered of sin, because God said so, then we are. And we're accounted righteous. And that is where our righteousness comes from. But Israel, following after a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. And you won't either if you go back and keep a covenant that God never made with you and depart from the covenant that God did make with you. You won't arrive either. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. Yep, keeping all those rules and regulations of the Old Testament, you know. Amen. Which are just shadows of the good things to come, the Bible says. You don't keep the shadow. You keep the real thing in the New Testament. They stumbled at the stone of stumbling. Even as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Well, they stumbled at the stone of stumbling as a salvation by their works, and not by faith in what Jesus did at the cross. He is the stone of stumbling. And anybody that speaks for him can be a stone of stumbling too. Because we speak by grace through faith, and they speak works. They're telling you you can't be accepted by God, except you go back and keep these works. You know, forget it. They're just shadows. They're just parables of the truth. If you'll look carefully in the New Testament, you'll see that. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that is those under the law, that they may be saved. Notice that they're not saved. Nobody can be saved except they're born again through faith in Jesus Christ. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, by you seeking to be saved by your works, nor accepted by your works, or esteemed by God by your works. You're trying to establish a righteousness of your own. For Christ is the end of the law. Oh my goodness. Unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you're a believer, you have come to the end of the law when you enter into Christ. Please believe the scriptures. For Moses writeth that the man that doeth the righteousness which is of the law shall live thereby. Yep, and in Galatians it tells you if you keep part of the law to seek to be justified, you have to keep the whole law. So you can't be saved in being justified by the law. You cannot be saved. But the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven. That's like self-confidence he's talking about here. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. We want to do this. We're going to keep this rule and this regulation so we can be accepted with God. We're going to do it, you know. Well, that is to bring Christ down, because he's only giving you a free gift. That's it. It'll be by grace or it won't be, right? Or, who shall descend into the abyss? Now, you can't really judge people by looks and by all these things. You're supposed to judge them by faith, right? You're supposed to believe for them just like you believe for you, right? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we speak these things that we don't see with our physical eyes. And we see these things like Christ in the mirror, you know. So when we believe it, we speak it. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word confess in that text is a homologeo. It means to speak the same as. Say what God says about you when he's talking by faith, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe unto this imputed righteousness, and we confess it with our mouth unto salvation. That means the manifestation. You confess it until you see it. That's what he's talking about. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Oh, glory to God. Many will be put to shame. They will be ashamed on that day. But we who believe will not be put to shame, because God will bear fruit unto our faith in us. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name means nature, character, and authority. It's the real Jesus of the Bible. Some people call on a false Jesus, and of course they don't get an answer because they've got an idol, right? They have perverted Jesus. We study the Bible to come to know the real Jesus and what he says and what he means. And that's what name means, is the real Jesus, his nature, his character, and his authority that he has given unto us, right? How then can they say they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we need to lift Jesus up. We need to share the real gospel with people. It's encouraging. It puts faith in them. It causes them to walk and bear fruit. We need to do this. We who know this need to do this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's a good point. I mean, men can't send them. I mean, Bible schools can't send them. Certificates of education can't send them. Only God can send, right? Even as is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not hearken to the glad tidings, or the good news, right? For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So they didn't believe. They stuck with the law and they were lost. So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need ears to hear. We need those spiritual ears to hear. And that comes by believing what the Lord says in His new covenant about you and what He has done for you and what He has provided for you. And 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching," or the thing preached, "to save them that believe." You must believe what God offers to you in the new covenant. And you must believe it to be saved. And I'm not talking about just initial salvation of your spirit. I'm talking about salvation of your soul and ultimately of your body. And your soul is by the way, saved through your obedience to the truth, Peter said. And a person who has faith, they're going to have obedience. It's going to be a gift from God. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Right? "Seeing that Jews ask for a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." Yeah, because the law, they want to go back to the law. They want to be able to do something that will save them instead of accepting the Lamb of God who is their salvation. "And unto Gentiles, foolishness." Yep, Gentiles, people in the world, they want to walk by sight. They've been raised to walk by sight. And so only those that believe can walk beyond what they see. There are many that claim to be Christians, far fewer that are believers. "But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men." Now, God's not foolish, but to the world, this is foolishness, that we should believe that Jesus took away our sins and that we don't have them anymore, and He took away our curse and we don't have it anymore. That's foolishness. "And that foolishness of God is wiser than men." And notice, "and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Yes. And we are weak in Him because we are not powerful to save ourselves anymore, to deliver ourselves, to heal ourselves anymore. It was all done by Christ at the cross. And that's stronger than anything that man can do. Believe it and save yourself a lot of trouble. There are people out there who want to save, heal, and deliver you in the worldly way, and ultimately it all ends up in death. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:4. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, and is not provoked, taketh not account of evil." You know, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," Jesus said. These are things that are the name and the nature of Jesus. God is love, the Bible says. Verse 6, "Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. It beareth all." Things wasn't in the original. "It beareth, it believeth all." Now that's not talking about believing everything the devil tells you. It's talking about believing all things that God gives you, right? It hopeth all things, and it endureth all. Okay, things wasn't there in the original. But so we're patient to endure unto the end. We have hope, which is a firm expectation of the things that God told us coming to pass. And we believe everything God told us. And we bear up under any tribulation that's necessary to get us there. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:21, In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers will I speak unto this people. And not even thus will they hear me, says the Lord. Well, it did happen there on the day of Pentecost. And he spoke to many Jews. He poured out his spirit, and they manifested in tongues. And it still does today for the multitudes out there that don't believe in anything supernatural in the Bible. Well, you just tear that out of your book too. It's still that way today. And it is necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues to overpower the devil, this world, your mind, the curse. You know, he ordained that everybody that got saved would be filled with his Spirit. Okay, and speak in tongues. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They'll speak with new tongues, right? That was one of the things mentioned there. So you can say no, but you're just wrong. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Well, let me say this. Those that believe, as the Scripture has said, they believe in tongues. But to the unbelieving. But prophesying is for a sign. Not to the unbelieving, but to them that believe. Yeah. So, don't deny tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He laid down in 1 Corinthians rules and regulations about tongues that we should pay attention to. But we should understand them in the context. But this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. It doesn't say anything else. If you believe anything else, you're believing men. Okay? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And speak in tongues, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and when He speaks through you in a language that you do not understand, which is necessary, because if you understand it, you'll change it according to your thinking. But it can only be pure when the Holy Spirit speaks through you in something you don't understand. You won't change it if you don't understand it. And He knows the mind of God, and He always prays in faith. So ask God for this wonderful gift if you haven't received it. And it's not the least gift. That's a lie. That's not in the Bible. It's the most important, because God wouldn't have given it to everybody right up front if it wasn't. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. Notice that. When you believe, you act on it. You speak it. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. That's right. Knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also with Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for this unspeakable gift, Lord. Wherefore we faint not, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Now that's a good thing to confess, that your inward man is being renewed day by day, and that your outer man is dying every day. Believe it and speak it. It's done. And you can believe this, that God is bringing you to this maturity of death, burial, and resurrection. And so you can be presented with Christ, right? And with the brethren that are the true brethren. We are here to bear fruit. He planted us a seed in this old dirt. Down here we call a world, in order for us to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Some people don't expect to bear any fruit. They just want to be forgiven. Well, I don't think these people want to know the truth, nor do they want to bear fruit. And that's a bad thing. Galatians 3 and 16. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. Okay, praise God. That is, you know, we who have faith, we are the seed of Abraham. He saith not unto seeds as of many. Pay attention now. He says not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. So what seed is he talking about? And to thy seed, which is Christ. So, in other words, for us to be the seed of Abraham, we have to be in Christ, because that's his seed. Okay. Now, this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, does not disannul. Disannul is an old English word. It actually means to us annul. It doesn't annul. The covenant of the law does not annul the covenant of Abraham, which is a covenant of faith, so as to make the promise of none effect. So the covenant of Abraham is still in effect. The covenant of the law is not in effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of promise. Aha! So the one that's not effective today is the law. It's no more of promise if you go back under the law. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? Listen, it was added because of transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. The law was just a meantime thing until Jesus would come to whom the promise was made. Christ is the end of the law, the Bible says. Get a revelation here. Don't go into all those Old Testament parables and try to keep them. They don't please God anymore. It doesn't please God that we walk blind and live under those parables. So, it was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. That was till Jesus came. And then guess what? What did Jesus anoint? The promise. The same thing Abraham did. The promise. You're saved by the promises. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So God made this covenant with Jesus, and if you abide in him, it's your covenant. If you don't abide in him, it's not your covenant. It's that simple. If you abide in the law, you'll die with the law. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could make alive, notice the law can't make alive. There was no power under the law to make you alive. Verily, righteousness would have been of the law, and righteousness is not of the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So everybody out there that are under the rules and regulations of man's law, Old Testament law, they're all shut up under sin. There's only one way to come out from under it. You have to believe the promise by faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom in the revelation and the knowledge of him. O God, open our understanding. Help us to be careful with your word. Help us to believe exactly what's being said. Don't let men twist it or pervert it to deceive us. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is it that you should expect, firmly expect, will come to you from God? You must know the hope of your calling. Calling means invitation. What have you been invited to partake of? It is all of his benefits. And you get that hope when you read the word and you accept it just like it speaks. Don't let man add to it or take away from it and bring you under the curse. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, it's exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Exceeding greatness of his power. So much of the church doesn't believe God's got any power for us, or that he'll exercise his power for us. exceeding greatness of his power. He delivers. He saves to the uttermost. He heals completely. He does everything he did back in the Gospels. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and don't you believe anything else. According to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead, he raised you from the dead. That means you don't have to walk among the dead anymore. There's zombies out there everywhere. These are walking dead. And we come out from among them by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. And we too. Because he goes on to say, far above all rule and authority and power. That's everything the devil can throw at you. Everything the curse of this world can throw at you. Far above. He's all far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named. Not only in this world, so he put you this way too. I'm going to show you in just a minute. But also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head. So Jesus is the head of a body that's above all these things. All rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named. He is the head, and you... The very lowest you can go is the feet, and he put this all under the feet. Notice. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. He filleth all and in all of his body. And he's put everything under the feet of his body. Now, that's as low as you can go in the body, to be part of the feet. But you're still above everything the devil's got and everything the curse has. If you will believe in this exceedingly great salvation that God has done. Oh, awesome. Philippians 1:29. Because to you it hath been granted in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. Now, this is one thing. You will suffer the death of self. It's not included in that. It's the death of your physical life, because there are going to be those that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. But what is included in that is all of your self-life, the old man who died in the waters of baptism. He died. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. What conflict? The conflict that he's put you over everything, but you still have to die to self. To self. You were crucified with Christ and you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Christ went to the cross, but at the same time he exercised dominion over everything. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are joyful because we know where we're going and we know what God's done and we know what he's done for us. So that you became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and righteously and unblameably we behaved ourselves towards you that believe. Now, some people say you can't even live like that, some of these preachers out there. Look at that. Holy, unblamed, that they believe themselves, behave themselves before them that believe. So, as you know, how we dealt with each one of you as a father and his own children, exhorting you and encouraging you and testifying to the end that you should walk worthily of God, who calleth you into his own kingdom and glory. And for this cause, we also thank God without ceasing that when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worked in you that believe. Now there's many people that don't believe when the Word of God is spoken through men. But notice, these men who spoke truth, spoke the Word of God, they were supposed to believe them as though it was the Word of God. And it was. And it's the same today. When people speak in agreement with the Word, they point you towards the Word, they show you clearly what the Word says, you're supposed to believe it. You're held accountable to believe it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope." The rest have no hope. When somebody dies, they fall all apart. Well, they just graduated, folks. They're gone on to be with the King. For goodness sake, rejoice with them. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you that our loved ones who have gone on are not suffering the tribulations of this world no more. And we're not selfish, and we're glad to see them next to Jesus, comforted and in rest. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "And then shall be revealed the lawless one, the one whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now this is, you know, the son of perdition is called here. But Judas was called the son of perdition. And he was a thief. And he was a liar. And he was used rather to crucify the Lord. And there are those among us that are just like this. And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. The love of the truth protects us from every deception, that they might be saved. "And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error." Because they don't love the truth, he sends them a working of error. You keep believing lying men instead of the Word of God, you'll get error. "That they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Folks, there's a lot of people that claim Christ who are going to take the mark of the beast because they believe men's foolishness. They don't believe what the Bible says about those who take the mark. They're going to take the mark of the beast because they're already taking it. The mark is in the forehead and in the hand, right? The head being, the forehead meaning the mind. They're receiving the mark of the beast, which is the mind of the flesh, and the hand, which is the works. And those who have the works of the flesh will die. So they are receiving it now. But I'm not saying that there's nothing physical coming like that. I don't believe that. I believe that God's going to be so merciful that, yes, he is going to show some physical proof of who is who. He's going to mark those that are his, and he's going to mark those that are the devil's. Don't matter how religious they are. 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all of his long-suffering." Look, if God could save Paul, he could save anybody. That's the point that he's making here. "For an example to them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life." He wants to show to the world that God can save the worst. And if he can do that, he can save anybody. So don't put anybody beyond the ability of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:1, "But the Spirit saith expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Do you believe the Word of God? "Through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own consciences with a hot iron, forbidding to marry." Oh my goodness, there's some religions that call themselves Christians that do this. But he calls it a doctrine of demons, and he calls it hypocrisy. "And commanding to abstain from meats." Oh my goodness, they do too. Here it is again. They speak lies. They're hypocrites. They don't even know what those meats in the Old Testament represented in the New Testament. And so they're bringing the letter over and not translating it. You know, Jesus said it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. This he said, making all meats clean. When he let that sheet down out of heaven in front of Peter, he said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Oh, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever entered in my mouth. He said, well, look, what I've made clean, don't you make unclean. Doctrine, it's a doctrine of demons, which God created to be received. Listen, these meats are created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. Do you bless your food? Well, of course you should. Do you believe it's blessed when you bless it? Well, then there's nothing wrong with it, right? It's to be received with thanksgiving for them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Oh, my goodness. And nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified through the word of God in prayer. If they have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. If they pray over their food, for what purpose do you pray over your food? Is it a ceremony? Do you believe that God actually sanctifies it like he says here? Okay, then you can eat it. If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ. The rest of them are not good ministers of Christ. Jesus nourished in the words of the faith and of good doctrine, which thou hast followed until now. Oh, praise God. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 and 10. For to this end we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Now, he is available to save all men, but specifically them that believe, or specially them that believe. Do you see what I'm saying? He is the Savior. Anybody who finds a gift of faith can come to him. Okay? But he will save everyone that believes. And that's on him, as the scripture hath said. Okay. These things command and teach. 1 Timothy 5:16. If any woman that believeth hath widows, let her relieve them. And let not the church be burdened, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Everybody's got a responsibility to take care of the people around them, not to throw them on to the church, like a lot of people do. Well, go to the preacher, go to the... But if you see your brother in need and you withhold your compassion, how does the love of God abide in you? So we say, the women that have widows, help them out, bless them, meet their needs. You're going to receive gifts from God because you do this. And everybody else too, by the way, when you see your brother in need. Titus 1 and 6, if any man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children that believe. You know, children believe easily. It's when they grow up that you don't know whether they're going to continue to believe. But if you raise them up in the way they should good, when they're old, they won't depart from it, in the way they should go. Who are not accused of riot or unruly. So you can be an elder, a bishop, if you have this. If you're little children, it's not talking about grown-up children, it's talking about your little children, because sometimes children go astray between here and when they get a revelation of their own salvation. James 2 and 18, yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I will by my works show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one? Thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? So the demons believe, but they don't do the works, right? So they shudder because they don't do the works. But you, as a believer, are going to believe, and you're going to accept the ability and the works from God, because that's what he does. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? So he had faith. He believed God could bring to pass the promise of the promised seed through Isaac. And even if he took him to the altar, he believed it. Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And it is so with you too. Don't claim to be a Christian and don't believe and speak the word of God, right? 1 John 3:20. Because if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So if your heart condemns you, just know that there's other things in there you don't even know about that is wrong. Now, he may not hold them against you because you're justified by faith. So he's making the point here. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God, because all the rest of that's covered. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The rest of it's covered, right? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Wow. So God's able to work in us to will and to do the things, right? So be pleasing unto God, so that when you ask God, you've got a clear conscience and you can receive everything. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. So how is it to abide in Christ? Remember, the promise is to the seed, which is Christ, not seeds as of many. It was to Christ. Until the seed should come to whom the promise is due, right? So, therefore, the only way... So, see, people think, oh, God's given me this gift of salvation, and he's not going to take it back. No, he's given the gift of salvation to Jesus Christ. And the way you receive it is by abiding in him. He said, if you don't abide in him, you're cast forth as a branch and thrown into the fire. So now he says, and he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him, that is Christ in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. All right, do you have the Holy Spirit? Does that which exudes from you be in the nature of the Holy Spirit? 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yes. So when he says, believe not every spirit, he's talking about every spirit in men. Prove them. How do you prove them? Well, are they according to the word, right? Prove them. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they are there to deceive, and they're good at it, and their father is good at it. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten or born, it's the same word as born, of God, and whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So look, if you love God and keep his commandments, you'll be blessed. But if you really love God, you're going to love also those that are born of him. Okay? And this is the proof. If a person doesn't love their brother who they can see, they don't love God whom they can't see. Hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do his commandments. You can't be giving a bad example to people around you that would lead them astray, lead them to fail, lead them into unbelief, and say you love your brethren. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. We must be setting a good example for our brethren. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is begotten or born of God overcometh the world. Notice, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What is that? Why is it whatsoever instead of whosoever? Because now it's whatsoever part of you is born of God overcometh the world. That's how you know that the outer man is decaying and the inner man's being renewed day by day. You're growing up in Him. In Him. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. So, our faith will overcome the world. Some people don't have that doctrine. They don't even have that belief. And that's a shame, because they haven't read their Bible. They have believed what men say who want to be sinners all their life and are justifying it by their doctrine. Why would anybody make up once saved, always saved? Unless they wanted to continue on in their sins. But God rebukes them in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed in the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. We have to believe the witness. Amen? The witness of the Word concerning his Son. Oh, praise God. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, the things show us what eternal life is. These things that he has spoken unto us show us what eternal life is. We can't believe what men say, except Jesus as your personal Savior, and that's it. You go sit on a pew and wait for God to come from heaven and save you from any difficulty on the earth. What foolishness. Even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That means onoma, nature, character, and authority. We have to believe on the Jesus of the Bible. This is our gift from God. Oh, thank you, Father. We receive it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive it. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness to us and drawing us unto you. Lord, we ask that we may believe as the Scripture has said. We ask, Lord, that you put in every heart out there of the people to study the Word, to show themselves approved of God. Lord, we must believe on the Jesus of the Bible. Forget religion. They all go astray. They always did. Everyone in Jesus' day went astray. Every one of them. No denomination followed him. And it's the same today. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Thank you, Father. Okay, good night, saints. God bless you. We'll do this again sometime.